Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Stuart Smythe, a professor in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics at the University of Saskatchewan. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Smythe.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, Bruce.
You were part of the team that conducted an impact assessment entitled From Research to Results, Measuring the Impact of Pork Research in Canada, which evaluates the economic, innovation, and sector-wide impacts of pork sector research investment in Canada. First of all, a little bit of background. What actually prompted the impact assessment, and what were its objectives?
So this was a requirement under the current five-year research strategy between Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada and the SCAP funding program, which runs from 2023 through to 2028. So as part of the successful projects that were funded through this initiative, at the around the midpoint of these five-year commitments, each project then had to do an impact assessment, looking at the investments that had gone in to whatever the sector research focus was, and to then report these results back to Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. So it was a mandated requirement as part of the funding agreements.
How were the different projects categorized as far as that impact assessment is concerned, and how was that approached?
So what we did in the pork sector is we went back to 2010, when swine innovation pork was established under the funding period from 2008 to 13, and we essentially broke the different investments into six different categories. We looked at categorized them as buildings and environmental settings, livestock health, livestock nutrition, the quality of carcass. We also looked at technologies that were contributing to overall swine production. And then the last one category was looking specifically at the welfare of the animals themselves.
What projects stood out and why?
So one of the ones that was really quite informative was a project that was funded between 2018 and 2023. And what this project did was it looked at this issue of how to improve biosecurity by sterilizing livestock transportation trailers. So there's a disease called porcine epidemic diarrhea, and there's no drug or cure for this. It causes significant impacts within the swine production sector. And so it was identified that if trailers could be properly sterilized, that would be one way of significantly reducing the transmission of this this disease between infected pigs and healthy pigs during the transportation process. So this was led by out of the University of Saskatchewan. And what they did is through some, trial and error, they found the temperature, they found how long the temperature had to be applied to a trailer to achieve the sterility of the implement. And so it turned out to have a significant long-term benefit well beyond the end of the project, that now trailers are sterilized according to the protocols that were developed, and the incidence of this disease has begun to decline.
In terms of return on investment for that particular project, what types of returns do we see? Who benefits from those returns? And how long lasting are they, or how repeatable are those returns on investment?
So we didn't go into specific project returns on investment, Bruce. We looked at the investment portfolio as a whole, which was about $50 million invested over that 14-year period. But we didn't go and then break it into, there was several dozen projects over that period of time, and we just didn't have the data to be able to break it down at that level. But what we were able to do is to start to get some sense as to, is this technology outcome something that would be fairly short-lived, that it would be adopted by producers or the pork industry, and within a few years, the benefits of the advancement would sort of begin to tail off. This is one that we felt was going to be pretty sustainable, long-lasting. That this is now ingrained within the pork transportation sector. That if you're transferring boars or sows between operations, this is a protocol now that has to be complied with. So it's certainly, and again, the secondary aspect of this is it improves the animal welfare. So it supports that side of things as well.
How quickly did we see that new technology adopted and by whom?
So it was adopted by some of the companies that do routinely transport pork in the country. That let it was adopted. I know in Ontario there was a company that specifically integrated a facility to be able to achieve this, and there was also another one in Western Canada set up to do this. So it was quickly taken up by, not so much the pork producers, but though, the trucking sector that said, okay, well, if we want to be engaged in transporting pigs in the country, we've got to adopt this technology. So they seem to quickly bring it on stream and be able to set up to ensure that, they could reassure farmers then that their trailers were sterile should they be hired to transport swine anywhere.
In terms of carcass assessment, what was happening in that regard?
So what we found there, Bruce, was there was no sort of benchmark or metric that was being used by the various pork processors in Canada, and what that meant then was that there was a difference in carcass quality grading, and also in what cuts were most desirable by consumers. And so this project was led by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada out of the Lacombe Research Centre, again from the same from the 2018 to 2023 period. Involved a number of other researchers such as Guelph, McGill University as examples. And so it focused on working with some of the processors, High Life, Olymel, Sontara Meats as examples, and we really went into the facilities to try and better understand the what the existing pork grading system was like, and if it was going to be possible to try and develop sort of a national standard that could be applied or adopted, I guess would be a better word, by the various pork processors in Canada.
What was the outcome of that specific project?
So it was able to come up with a metric that did establish a consistent grading system. And it also then helped to benefit consumers because, the cuts that they were looking for or had a through purchasing had expressed desire to use as part of their weekly grocery purchases were identified, and so that harmonization of grading and quality really helped to improve the competitiveness of the Canadian pork sector.
How will that benefit the sector, the pork sector, producers, processors moving forward?
I think what it showed, Bruce, is that when this was harmonized and they were able to observe the effects at the consumer level, saying that, okay, we've made these changes and here's how consumers are responding, that it increased the awareness of the importance of communicating to consumers. So it may well lead to more observations about what preferences are existing with pork consumers, what trends are emerging, and how can that then maybe feed back into the processing side of things to ensure that the products or the cuts or the quality that's being demanded, that information is available to the processors.
Mammary gland development and increasing piglet survivability, increasing milk supply from the sow was another project that was looked at. What was that all about?
So it really delved into this issue of how to best develop mammary glands within the sows. So there was this project was again led by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, but out of the Sherbrooke Research Center in Quebec. It ran from 2018 to 2023. It also involved some other partners. Guelph and the University of California, Davis, as examples. And so it focused on trying to get a better understanding of, milk quality, milk availability. So trying to find lines within the swine sector, swine genetics, I guess, that, we're identifying as having superior mammary production. And so it really allowed for the identification of good genetics that lead to strong mammary development and milk production within the various swine breeds.
What are the benefits of that improved mammary development overall, and what are the factors there?
So a couple of important things coming out of that, Bruce, is it started to identify, okay, how does feed impact mammary development? And so there was research on that, and they were able to identify some lower cost feed opportunities as part of the management strategy. So they did find that lysine is an important, it's very vital for mammary growth, piglet performance as well. So they were able to identify diets for the pregnant sows that would help with the survivability of the piglets, and found, as an example, that if they were able to increase the dietary uptake of lysine by 40%, it had a significant benefit on piglet survivability.
What does this mean for pork producers and especially producers who are involved in sow operations?
I think probably the key thing, Bruce, is that with very little change and a lower cost or more economical feed opportunity is allowing to have a higher survivability rate with piglets. So a really cost-effective way to increase a pork producer's profitability by, if you had a 10% on an annual basis, a 10% increase in your piglet survivability, then that transitions all the way through to sales and profitability.
There was also research looking at the pig gut microbiome aimed at reducing the use of antibiotics. What was happening in that regard?
So this one was to try and get, again, sort of a benchmark of what a healthy gut microbiome looks like within the Canadian swine sector. This was a project that was led as part of a collaboration between the Universities of Guelph Alberta and Saskatchewan between 2018 and 2023. And so it involved sampling pork microbiome, or the gut biome across multiple operations. And it ultimately concluded and I think identified some unique opportunities on how to make a healthier gut microbiome, which then facilitated a reduction in the requirements to use antibiotics as part of pork production.
How does this benefit pork producers, provide returns to pork producers, and what are the factors there?
If farmers have a healthier herd, they will be using less antibiotics, so it's lowering their cost of production. But it's also got that animal welfare benefit in that, if you've got a healthy herd, you're not going to have pigs that are showing symptoms of being ill. The animal welfare concerns that go with sick livestock. So, it also provides a bit of a positive mental boost for the farmers, a little bit less stress about swine management and knowing that they've got healthier herds and sort of less concern about having to be focused and caring for animals that happen to be ill.
And how does that impact production costs overall as well?
Yeah, so it would have a positive impact. We weren't able to get to the scale of saying, okay, if you have this improvement of X in a pork microbiome, that's going to transfer to X dollars in increased profitability. But we were able to, this project was able to then demonstrate that, practices that lead to healthier gut microbiomes then also have this contribution to improved profitability. So these are, process side of things that do have benefits to producers right across the country.
There was also work looking at sow housing conversion and pig welfare. What was happening in that regard, and what did you look at?
So this was a project that was led by the Prairie Swine Center from 2013 to 2018, and it had collaborations from the University of Manitoba, predominantly, and also from the CDPQ in Quebec. So this one was really looking at animal welfare and barn designs. So there were policy requirements that farmers had to convert their sow housing. And this was going to be an expensive undertaking. And so it was a bit of a case study with farmers that had already undertaken this transition to the new regulatory requirements, as well as another group of farmers that were midway through the process, and they were comparing, what had changed in terms of feed costs, in terms of operating efficiencies, to allow more, just to create more knowledge to help farmers better understand, what was going to be the short term and the long term, the short term costs and the potential for longer term savings from undergoing this transition.
What benefits have we seen as a result of this work, and who primarily benefits?
So it's going to benefit, ultimately all of the farmers. What it identified up front was that there was going to be an average cost they identified that ranged at the low end from about $250 up to the higher end of $500. But they found this varied depending on the size of each of the pork operations. So it was very size dependent, but it also highlighted that the efficiencies that would be gained from this transition were quick to be realized. So once a farm had made this transition to new sow housing, the benefits were began to be observed immediately.
In terms of long-term benefits, how do these changes ripple through the system over time?
Yeah, it was a phased in process, so it wasn't something that the swine industry said, you know what, we've got 18 months and we have to make all of this conversion. There was a fairly lengthy transition period allowed. One of the interesting things that has come out of this, you know, is that as the farms had to make this transition to be compliant, it's also allowed you know, to limit the stress of sows, so that, you know, they've got a healthier overall herd. And again, that has a positive impact on overall farm income, but also in the ease of managing your pork operation. So again, it comes back to that underlying theme that we've talked a little bit about, that many of these projects, while they're not necessarily focused on animal welfare as the leading objective, that's certainly a strong secondary benefit of the research.
In terms of all of the projects coordinated through Swine Innovation Pork, how do the benefits of that research, those outcomes, benefit the hog industry on an ongoing basis? And what can we foresee in terms of long-term return on investment generally?
So we were able to create an estimate, Bruce, that for every dollar that the pork producers put into researching in Canada, it generates an additional $8 in benefits for them. So that additional $8 are broken down into better feed use efficiencies, higher piglet survivability, you know, survival rates, but also in the, you know, the increase in demand for pork in Canada. So an 8-to-1 ratio, that's a, you know, an excellent return on investment, and it highlights that there would be an opportunity for the pork sector to say, okay, if we're investing at this level, if we increased our investments by 10 or 20% over the coming years, then we would expect to see a correlating increase in benefits, indicating that, you know, there's a good opportunity for increasing investments into swine research in Canada.
How can anyone interested get more information or access the report from Research to Results, measuring the impact of pork research in Canada?
I believe they can email SIP and request a copy. I do know there are some a webcast was recorded and that webcast is available, but I do believe the report's available if individuals want to specifically go through and read the report themselves.
And is there anything you would like to add?
As we've seen high beef prices, there's a significant portion of Canadian consumers that are looking for, you know, good, safe, nutritious food, and pork offers that great opportunity to be there. So I think there's, you know, there's an opportunity to increase consumers' interest and willingness to purchase pork as part of their regular grocery purchase habits. And so I think that, you know, the future over the next number of years looks, you know, quite bright and promising, for the Canadian pork sector.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Our guest has been Dr. Stuart Smythe, a professor in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics at the University of Saskatchewan. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochrane.